Once again, Father, we come to you and we ask, Lord, that you'll lead us through this time that we have here in chapel. Father, we can't understand the Word of God or understand what you have to say to us from your Word without your help. I pray, Father, for each of us that we will pay attention and will listen closely to what you have to say to us. I pray that you would transform someone's heart and mind today. They would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I pray for those that are struggling with these attitudes that we've been addressing, that, Father, they would admit it, and secondly, that they would repent of it and turn away from it and turn to you for help. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are currently in a series on anger. And I've already addressed a couple questions. The first is, what is anger? And we've given a definition from Webster's Dictionary, which basically says it's a feeling of displeasure resulting from injury, mistreatment, opposition. And it usually shows itself in a desire to fight back at the supposed cause of this feeling. You feel angry, someone has provoked this, something has happened. You're not pleased with a conversation you had with someone. You're not pleased with a situation that occurred. Or maybe you were injured in the process, whether it was physically or emotionally. Maybe you felt that you were mistreated. You were opposed, whether you agreed with that opposition or not. And that then puts within you, within your emotions, this desire to fight back. And usually it comes back in words. And if words are not enough, then it comes back in other physical action. Now, this is an area that we really have to be careful with, because there's danger involved in this. As one person has said, that anger is one word away from danger. There's danger with this. There is an anger that is right, and obviously there's anger that's not right. And all of us have experienced. In fact, I would guess to say that we would have to ask, when is it right? Because I know when it's wrong. Or do we really understand when it's wrong? Because when we are angry, we feel so justified in what we're doing, with whatever action that comes from it. Whether you're talking to a teacher, you're talking to another student, you're talking to someone in your neighborhood or a family member or your parents. To be honest with you, in the Old Testament, if you talk to your parents like I've heard some of you talk to each other, in the Old Testament, you were killed for it. It was a capital punishment. Now, with that being said, we have to be thankful for the grace and the mercy of God that's been granted to us. In fact, we would just go a little further than that and say that any sin is punishable by death, right? The wages of sin is death. And so we all ought to be thankful that God hasn't killed us for the first sin we've ever committed. And yet we have committed multiple sins. And many multiple sins throughout the day. But think about your life, how long you've been living and how much you have done. So we basically said that anger is a feeling of displeasure. And then we talked about, in this second question, we said, how does anger manifest itself? We said it manifests itself by rage, by fury. Fury is a violent anger. By wrath, that's an intense form of anger. And then we said by righteous indignation. And that takes us to Ephesians 4 and verse 26, which says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Aristotle said, anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not easy. That's not. This is the kind of anger that results from injustice or ingratitude. It implies a righteous anger aroused by what seems to be unjust, what seems to be mean or insulting. And we're going to talk about this a little further in just a moment. But let me address the third question that I was talking to you about yesterday. I said, what causes us to get angry? And we first talked about pride, and we talked about David's pride with Nabal. how he was angry because of his name and because of his reputation and how Nabal treated him. And Nabal was angry for other reasons. He didn't want anybody hoarding in on his stuff. And he certainly didn't want to give up anything he had to somebody he didn't even know. He did not have any kind of commitment of sharing. And of course, in the end, Nabal died. Now, sometimes anger can lead to that. Anger can lead to a heart attack. I mean, just think about it. When you're mad, your blood pressure goes way up. And sometimes you can even feel, you know, the veins in your head just, you can feel the pressure there. You can feel your pulse right there on your temples. When you're mad, you turn all red. Like I said yesterday, your face changes. It's very evident that when you're going through that kind of emotion, that it's there. Some people manifest it in different ways. Sometimes when you get mad, you may be the type that just gets real quiet. You don't say anything to anyone, and maybe that's your way of controlling it, and that could be a good thing. Or you're the opposite. You just open up your mouth and you don't control anything that comes out. So pride has a way that when we feel our name has been hurt, our reputation has been hurt, we feel like that we've been embarrassed, put on the spot. Pride has a way of causing us to get angry. But not only pride, but when someone talks to us harshly, harsh words, how we answer one another can stir up anger. Nabal was harsh in all of his evil doings. So everything he had to say was a bad word, a bad thing. I was listening to a show last night. I was driving home, and it was a show called Unshackled. And they do radio dramas. And I like dramas, listen to that. Not the dramas that you do in class, but I like radio dramas. And I'm listening to this as I'm riding home, and the particular drama was on a family, and it's usually a testimony of something going on, how a person, the Lord changed their life, and they're telling a little bit about their family history. And this family situation that this young lady grew up in, first she was adopted, nothing wrong with that. I have an adopted son, and it's a wonderful thing. If you're in here, you've been adopted, that God has taken care of you in that way and sent some loving parents to care for you. Well, in this case, this young lady was adopted, but her stepdad didn't like her. In fact, he admitted on his deathbed, as he apologized for how he treated her, he said, "I'm sorry that I treated you like that, but I never liked you." Wow, what a horrible thing to say to somebody, especially on your deathbed. You're dying. And the last rotten thing you could say would be that? Come on. Now, you can imagine what that did to her. But as I'm listening to that, I'm just thinking, you know, how many times do we do things just like that? And how we treat each other. We use harsh words. And as I said yesterday, our answers need to be soft. If you have a soft answer rather than a harsh answer, you can turn the anger off in that other person almost immediately. And I asked you yesterday to try that if you get into a situation. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." We need to be soft in our words, kind in our words, gentle in our words. That will turn it off. A third cause we talked about was selfishness. Basically not getting what you want. Saul didn't get what he wanted. Saul wanted his son Jonathan to deliver David to him. He was jealous of David. David was running from Saul because he's not an idiot. Here, somebody trying to kill me, I think I need to run. You know, God has put that within us. It's called flight. That's what you do when you get scared. You run. That's the first thing that happens. All adrenaline goes and you immediately are put to flight. But here he wanted to kill David. In fact, a lot of people don't realize this, but David didn't become king immediately after Samuel anointed him to be king. After God told Samuel that this is the man, he took the oil, he poured it on him, he anointed him as a king, but he didn't become king immediately. You know how long it took? 12 years. That's your whole schooling. 12 years. He spent 12 years running from Saul. Now, I would just have to venture a year into this. I'd be saying, "Lord, you chose me to be king. How long is this going to take place? Why am I still running? Why am I hiding in caves? Why am I aligning myself with evil nations? And why am I acting like a madman so that I can deceive this nation in thinking that I have turned on my native country and you can trust me? These are things David did. But 12 years. When you're selfish and you're holding on to things in your life, that could cause anger. Because when people invade that space, they invade your belongings, or whatever it may be, you can lash out at them. And as far as our belongings, we ought to hold them loosely, because you can't take anything with you when you die. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. It's not going to happen. You leave it all behind. Fourth cause, and we got into this, this is where we ended, was unrealistic demands. Unrealistic demands. And the idea is putting expectations on other people that they cannot fulfill those expectations. Just like in the case where Rachel says to her husband, Jacob, give me children or I'll die. That's an unrealistic expectation. He could not give her children. God was the one that opened and closes the womb. God was the one responsible for her getting pregnant, ultimately. And that's all we'll say about that. But let me give you a few other causes, because there are other causes. There are other things that do it. I hinted on this a little bit yesterday, but lying is another one. If you are one who constantly gives yourself over to lying, that will cause anger in other people. Don't you get tired of talking to someone who can't be honest with you? And they begin to develop this reputation and character of being a liar, so that whenever they are trying to tell the truth, you can't believe them. Because they've told so many lies, they've spent so much time covering that up. That's hard to deal with. I like people to be honest with me. I want to take you at your word. But if you're the type that always lies, then you make it difficult for me to take you at your word. And it gets frustrating. I am generally a person that trusts people. But when you violate that trust, I then view the relationship with suspicion. I begin to question in my mind everything about that relationship. And that's what lying will produce. It breaks trust. But it will cause anger, for sure. Another cause of anger is disobedience. Disobedience. And here's an example of even some righteous indignation in Exodus 16, verses 19 and 20. Here, Moses is telling the children of Israel, let no one leave any of it until the morning. And here he is talking about the manna. You remember when God gave them bread from heaven? They woke up and this manna was on the ground. They didn't know what it was. And so they said, what is it? Well, what is it in Hebrew meant manna. That's where they got the name. And so they were given instructions on how to collect it. And they were not to collect it on the Sabbath day, but they were to collect enough of it the day before to take care of the day when they weren't to collect it. But some people, just like we have some people here, some people, when I give instructions about a certain situation, I always have two or three people come back and ask me about something that I have already instructed on. You know, if I say don't write the questions, I have three students ask me if we're going to write the questions. And after a while, I'll begin to say, okay, go ahead and write the questions. You can write the questions. You know, we're doing 1 through 6. How many are we to do? 1 through 6. How many are we doing? 1 through 6. Are we doing 1 through 8? Yes, you're doing 1 through 8. You understand? You understand how this works? Okay, well, the same thing happened back then as well. Don't pick this up on the Sabbath day, which was Saturday. Sabbath day has always been Saturday. Don't pick this up. Don't go out to collect it. But people went out to collect it. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it until morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms, and it stank, and Moses was angry with them. Now that's an example of righteous indignation. God gave the instructions to Moses. Moses passed those instructions to the people. People violated that, and he had every reason to be mad because he violated the word of God. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Well, I want to hit on this one because this is one that I really think is an issue. And it's an issue right here. Here's a cause of anger. You ready? Complaining. I can't tell you how many times before school starts, before we have begun first period, before even we walk down here to do announcements and walk around Jericho, you know, that I'm going, would you guys please quit complaining? It's already started. It's not even 8:15 in the morning. We learned a verse last year, do everything without murmuring and disputing, that you may be harmless, children of God in the midst of a wicked and crooked world, among whom you shine as lights in the world, Philippians 2. And that verse is talking about not complaining. Moses dealt with that as well. It says in Exodus 17, first four verses, all the children of Israel sent out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and they camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people was contending with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted for the water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord saying, what shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me. They complain. And I would just have to tell you, you take Exodus and Numbers, those two books in the Old Testament, and ask this simple question, what did God feel, or how did God feel about complaining? What did he do? You know what he ended up doing? He ended up killing people for it. Yes, he did. So you can see how much of a problem this is. And you know the thing about complaining, it's like cancer, it spreads. But it's like a cold that's contagious. You get around people that are complaining, guess what? You maybe came in the room with a good mood, but 5-10 minutes into it, you're doing the same thing they're doing. It affects all of us. That's the kind of deadly disease that it is. But that complaining can cause anger as well. Let me give you two more. Causes of anger. We've already talked about pride. We've talked about harsh words. We've talked about selfishness, unrealistic demands. We've talked about lying, disobedience, complaining. Another one would be pain. Pain. Pain to a loved one, when you hurt somebody. In Genesis 39, Joseph was accused of having sex with his master's wife. And guess who accused him? His master's wife. Whoa, that's a hard one to overcome. It says, and so it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Rightly so. Pain. I tell you what, you hurt my family. It's like sticking your finger in my eye. You stuck your finger in your eye lately? Does that bother you? Does that irritate you? I can say that for your parents. If someone tries to hurt you, it's like them hurting your parents. I'm jealous for my family. I don't want anybody to hurt them. I love my family. And when you love someone, you don't want to hurt them. You want to protect them. And it's even more as a parent, protecting his or her children. Your parents, you may feel sometimes that they're very overprotective of you, but it's because they love and care about you and they want to protect you. And they want to prevent you from being hurt, harmed, either physically, emotionally, mentally, verbally. They care about you. And here, this was a violation right here. Major, major violation. Even the Proverbs talks about the rage that's there of a husband when this happens in a marriage relationship. So pain to a loved one will cause anger. The last one is found in Genesis 44:18, and it's injustice. Judah came near to him and said, Oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. Now, I mentioned Joseph. Joseph was later, while he was in prison, he had interpreted some dreams. You remember we talked about the cupbearer forgetting about him for 2 years. We interpreted those dreams. Well, 2 years later, Pharaoh's having these dreams, and the cupbearer remembers about Joseph because there was no one to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And so they brought Joseph in. Joseph interprets those dreams. Pharaoh makes him second in command of all of Egypt. Second in command. So that meant that the cupbearer was now under Joseph. You think he feared his life? Hey, I forgot about him for 2 years. I hope he's not going to kill me or throw me back into prison. But the people that feared him more were his brothers who sold him to the Ishmaelite traders that eventually got him there. They hated him so much, they first threw him down in a dry well to kill him. But one of his brothers was going to pull him out, save him. But before he could come back and rescue him, the rest of the brothers got this idea when they saw these Ishmaelite traders coming by that they would sell Joseph as a slave. And they did. And then they faked his death. They took a goat and killed it. And they took the coat of many colors and they drenched it in the blood. They took this back to their father and they said, "Is this your son's coat?" Look at all the lying involved here. Look at all the deception. How do you think that their father felt toward his other sons when he finds out that Joseph is not dead? And they faked his death. We don't have anything Scripture tells us about it. But you can just imagine. Guys, there are many things that cause anger. Many things. And we have to be willing to come to the Lord and give these things to Him. And that's why walking with the Lord, walking in the Spirit, depending on the Lord, it's a moment by moment, day by day, second by second, minute by minute, dependence on Him. All day long, all night long, even when you sleep and you wake up in the middle of the night, you have a bad dream. One of my kids has a lot of bad dreams and he was having one last night and I walk in there and I just try to hold him and comfort him and tell him that the Lord is with him because the Bible says, when I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. And I have to think about that for myself and my family. And I want him to know that we're here for him. And that's the kind of thing that the Lord does for us. He protects us. He puts his protection around us. He loves us. He loves you. And I pray that you'll love him back. And the only way you can do that is to surrender your life to him. Let's pray. We thank you for this time that we've had together, Father. And we pray that we will apply the things we've learned today to our lives. We pray that we'll have a good rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.